It's the battle cry of the Bale Musa, Mawafata. But what is the meaning? And not just the Bale Musa, I mean Chazal, the philosophers, everybody. But what does it mean, Mawafata? What's the underlying meaning? To my mind, Mawafata has a very interesting idea. And it's one that's very unique. I think it's a unique idea. It's a concept found only in Yadus. It's a delicate idea. What it means is like this. What it means is that there is a common denominator between understanding Chochmas HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Chesed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chochmas HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Chesed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So listen, it sounds like two different things. One thing is Chochmas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Borei Olam. But now you're talking about Chesed. Chesed is more of a human trait. And we don't understand what it means, Chesed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if that's the case, then what's the Mawafata? The whole thing is difficult. What it means is like this. What it means is that if a person perceives Chochmas HaKadosh Baruch Hu in terms, even in terms of the Bria, if he's on a very high level, even in terms of the Bria, what he sees in Chochmas HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a certain objectivity, a certain emitus that is far removed from any kind of human personal traits that man has. And anyone who investigates the Bria comes to such a conclusion. It's difficult to talk about it because it's an experience that you have to have from the process of investigation. But the fact is that a person's delving into Chochmas HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one that leaves him with a sense of a being that is far above man's small outlook that he has. It's a certain, it's a grand objective kind of sense about this being, about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And some great natural investigators have expressed that. Among them is Albert Einstein. But others also. That if a person objectively studies Chochmas Hashem, he walks away with an appreciation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the sense that he sees how far removed he is from our small-mindedness. You see, our involvement, a constant preoccupation with ourselves, you see. And Chochmas HaTorah, certainly Chochmas HaTorah, certainly Chochmas HaTorah, but I'm saying even from Chochmas HaBriah. Now, what prevents a person from being a Baal Chesed, is like the Mishnah says in Avos. The Mishnah starts off in Avos, the first barometer of perfection is in terms of how a person relates to his possessions, that which is his mundane physical possessions, that Shali, Shali, Shalach, Shalach, the whole Mishnah there. So what does it mean? It means to say that the breaking of the Shali, is really the perfection, because which one is the Chassid? The Chassid is Shali Shalach and Shalach Shalach, right? So the breaking of the Shali, that's Leman Nechdal Me'oshik Yedenu, is really the perfection. Where does a person see this? Where does a person see this in reality? It's not just a mitzvah. He sees it in reality if he perceives enough of Chochmas HaBorei. If he perceives enough of Chochmas Hashem, then he loses that sense of the Shali. He sees how small the sense of the Shali is. And he comes under a different way of thinking. He sees HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Chesed. What does it mean? We don't understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Chesed. We cannot understand. So what shaykh does he have to how can we say Mahu Af'ata? In what sense is Mahu Afata? I mean, we don't understand Chesed Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu asked the Kasha, Sefer Iyu, we don't understand it. But it means this much we understand, that the Chesed Hashem has nothing. It's the most furthest removed from the sense of the Shalit. It's a grand kind of Chesed. It's a Chesed on a scale that is far removed from a person's small-minded selfishness, self-interest. And that much we can perceive of Chesed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Yadus maintains an interesting theology. That is an interesting thesis. That is that Chochmas Hashem, Yediyas Hashem, enlightens us also insofar as Chesed Hashem. Chesed Hashem. And I mentioned in the Yeshua's here that what was it says, Vayav Hashem Aponov, Vayikra Hashem Hashem Kerachim Achanan, Erech Alpayim Chesed Hashem. So say, that was the biggest Chochmah. That's how the ending knows Rechecha. But where do we see the Chochmah in the Psukim? Hashem Hashem Kerachim Achanan, Erech Alpayim. Very nice. Yidgimu Midos. Nobody will question. But what was the great Chochmah that Moshe Rabbeinu saw over there, Benikras Atzur? What did he see? So the answer is that the Pasuk, of course, can't explain it to us. A person can only understand it insofar as his level of Amkus and Avona and Yediyas Hashem is concerned. Moshe Rabbeinu understood it in the greatest way. But it means that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to see to the greatest degree possible the relationship between Chesed Hashem and Chochmas Hashem, Yediyas Hashem. And he saw how the Chesed Hashem fits into the realm of the same being that also displays infinite Chochmah. He wasn't able to understand it from scratch. I gave you the mushel with the watch, that a person can understand what the person doesn't understand what the ticking sound has to do with the movement of the hands, so you could show him. Show him, it has to do with the levers and the mechanics of the watch. So he'll understand then that the ticking sound has something to do with it. But he will not be able to produce the watch from scratch. That's a different kind of understanding. That's an understanding from the beginning. That's ponai. Ufonai lo yero. With regard to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you can't understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu that way. Bavarisas achoroi. It means he could understand the relationship between the two. What's the relationship between Chesed Hashem and Chochmas Hashem? Moshe Rabbeinu was able to perceive that. He could see a link between the two, the link between the two. But he couldn't understand it mitchilasa, because that's later on, Yodam Vachoy. But if Aris is a choroi, he could see what, so to speak, like in the mushel, what the ticking of the clock has to do with the motion of the hands. That much he could see the relationship between the two. That's a choroi. But funai, to understand it from the beginning, he couldn't understand it. Even Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't understand it. But Moshe Rabbeinu was able to understand to the nth degree possible for a human being the relationship between Chesed Hashem and Chochmas Hashem. But every Yisrael is obligated to understand this much of Chesed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that is the Mahu Afata. It means if a person acquires that objective sense where he loses the Sheli, where he loses that Sheli because he sees Chochmas Hashem is not in line with that notion, is not in line, is diametrically opposed to that notion, if he sees that, so then he can lose the Sheli, and his Chesed could be on a totally different level. Totally different level. And what is that level? That's the level of Sheli Shaloch and Shaloch Shaloch. Why is it Sheli Shaloch Shaloch Shaloch? Because it means, Shaloch Shaloch? Why is Shaloch Shaloch? Because he knows that people have to have that weakness, that people have to have bilus. It's a weakness in man. He has to have bilus. Really, the Am Haaretz was right. The Am Haaretz was Sheli Shaloch Shaloch Sheli. You don't need his whole business. But people can't live on that. People can't live on that level. And it means to say that he has reached such an objective level that he even tolerates the subjective in other human beings. He tolerates it. That's Mahu Afata. Of course, does HaKadosh Baruch Hu throw away a person because of the fact that he has imperfections, and he throw away the whole world? So then we would never be able to exist. So it means HaKadosh Baruch Hu tolerates man in spite of his crazy nonsensical imperfections. But the chassid also has to be able to tolerate the sheli in another person. Because he's reached the objective plane. That's the plane of Mahu Af'ata. See, that's the plane of Mahu Af'ata. So it comes out like this. Now you see the equation between the Belial of Tzedakah and the Belial of Avodah Zarah, the analogy is complete. Why? Because it means like this. It means if a person is lacking in Chesed, he's lacking where? In Yediyas Hashem. Yediyas Hashem. And what is Avodah Zarah? Avodah Zarah is a complete lacking Yediyas Hashem. See, Avodah Zarah is two things. Avodah Zarah is a lacking Yediyas Hashem, and it's a lack in Kabbalah's Ol. It's a lack in Kabbalah's Ol. It means he can't subordinate himself. He can't remove himself from the self. He's unable to remove himself from the self. That's the ultimate objective of Avodah Zarah. So it means Avodah Zarah represents the highest level of Sheli. That's what Avodah Zarah is. Avodah Zarah is a double imperfection. It's an imperfection so far as perceiving reality. It's an imperfection so far as Nidos is concerned. And that is a principle of Yadus, unique principle of Yadus, that the Yediyas Hashem is intricately tied with Chesed Hashem. So an imperfection with regard to Chesed Ha'odam in Mahu Af'ata is an imperfection insofar as Yediyas Hashem also. That's really from this Gemara. That's Belial Penyir, because the pasuk is making sense. So the Torah used the wrong word. What do you mean Belial? He doesn't want to get stuck. Why is he Belial? Belial is what is our Belial. The answer is, what is the source of the refraining from performing tzedakah, from doing tzedakah? The source is Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah means that the person has no Yediyas Hashem, and he has no Yediyas Hashem, he doesn't understand Chesed Hashem, and he has no Mahu Af'ata. So it's an exact analogy, an interesting thing. But that's a principle of Yadus, that Chesed Hashem is tied in to Chochmas Hashem. If you can't see it, then there's no Mahu Af'ata. So if you can't do it, so then you're lacking in Yediyas Hashem. So it's exactly Avodah Zarah. Exactly, Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah is a lack of Yediyas Hashem, and it's a person, an Oved Avodah Zarah, could never conceive of Chesed in any real way. In any real way. He's devoid of any sense of real objective Chesed. And the Yisrael is enjoined to perform Chesed, not just on an emotional level, that's a low level. It means Chesed on the level of imitation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Means the objective plane, an objective plane, where the sense of the Shali is nonsense. It doesn't register the sense of Shali. He doesn't feel it. He doesn't register anymore. He's above that sense of Shali. He's into a different reality, the reality that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given him. That's what the Gemara means in Ksubas. Blial, blial. That's the analogy. That's the analogy. Okay? That's why the pasuk says, "Ki im b'zos haskel yadol si ki ani aroshem osa chesed mishpat utzdaka ba'aretz ki be'elach hafatzti nom Hashem." This is Yediyas Hashem. This is Yediyas Hashem. Yediyas Hashem includes both realms, Chochmas Hashem and Chesed Hashem, and they both stem from one source. If you can't see the unification, I don't mean unification. Moshe Rabbeinu was able to see it on the highest plane. But every Yisrael is obligated to see it at least on that, at least that much. And that's the Mahu Af'ata. It's a different kind of chesed. Different kind of chesed. You can perceive a chesed that's totally removed from a person's emotional state of ani, the sheli, the sheli, the self. Okay? That's right. Avram Avinu was the one that perceived the unification of those two realms. The realm of Hakaras Hashem and the realm of Chesed Hashem. That was the perception of Avraham Avinu. That's right, exactly. Very good. That was Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu perceived that unification. That was his godless. Because why did Avraham Avinu take Chesed more than any other mitzvah? Other mitzvahs in Torah. Why Chesed? Why? Because Chesed is intrinsic intrinsic concept that's tied to Yedias Hashem. That's Yedias Hashem. But it should be emphasized over here that where is the Chesed Hashem? The Chesed Hashem. Where is the Chesed Hashem manifest? Everybody looks for Chesed Hashem. Everybody looks for Chesed Hashem in terms of Hashgacha Pratis. That's because they're interested in Shalei. So they're always looking for Chesed Hashem in terms of Hashgacha Pratis. But if you look through Tehillim, you see Tehillim Baruch Nafshi, you look through Chesed Hashem in the way David HaMelech portrays Chesed Hashem. Chesed Hashem is endless. Chesed Hashem is in all his creation. In Hashgacha Klolius, the way man is created, the way even as far as you want to even limit it to man, but the Chesed Hashem is insofar as a human being has what he needs, like the Rambam expresses in the Mor Nevuchim, how the whole universe unraveled itself in a way that man should be able to, on the whole, have not just necessities but even enjoyments. Barin Nefashos, Rabbos Chasan Ravachos and Hashgachoi, Chesed Hashem in every aspect. Every aspect, in myriads of ways, infinite ways, the way the body is constructed, Baruch Rofei Cholem, that a person is subject to, that most things that the person can cure himself, and the different, all infinite Chesed in terms of Hashgacha Klolius of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You see Chesed, infinite Chesed Hashem. So Chesed Hashem is not just limited to Hashgacha Pratis. Chesed Hashem, you have to look to Hashgacha Klolius as well. The way the system was created with infinite consideration for man. So the Chesed Hashem is infinite, not just in terms of, you shouldn't look just in terms of Hashgacha Pratius, but in terms of Hashgacha Klolius. It's a higher level to perceive. What? Not only this V-man, that's right. Racham Aval Kol Masov. Okay. Unis Olam Kula B'Tuval B'Chem Ches Rachmin Unis Olam Kol Bosa. I mean, if you learn through Tillim, you see that the perception of Chesed Hashem, the person has to be outside of the self to perceive the Chesed Hashem, the existence of the Chesed Hashem, infinite ways. Okay. Yeah, what Dani is mentioning is very true. And you see, the Maho is only with regard to Chesed. That's the Maho Afat, is only with regard to Chesed Hashem. He's not telling you Maho. A person will say, Kel Kano Hashem. Maho, Maho Kano, Fani Kano. It's nonsensical. The whole idea of Ma'u Afata is... somebody wants to ask me a question. But the whole idea of Ma'u Afata is really insofar as perception of Chesed HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chesed Hashem. That's what it means. That's the whole Ma'u Afata. That's why it's only those things. Ma'u Chana, Ma'u Chana, Ma'u Rechapayim, Ma'u Rechapayim. That's what it means. Tom Chesed, yeah. Right. Menachem Avelim, right. That's right. Ma'apicholim, right, exactly. The reason to imitate is because a person by nature, if he's normal, his actions, he should have a desire to be in line with reality. And when he sees what the greater reality is, he naturally should be in, he should realize that this is the truth, and he should naturally strive to be in line with that, with that reality. That's what it is. Okay? So now we're up to Yiraf. Yiraf is Arba Midos Bideos, Noach Lichos, Noach Lirtzos. A person gets angry easily, and he's also appeased very easily. So the gain that he has from being a Noach Lichos, I'm sorry, the gain that he has from being a Noach Lirtzos is lost by the Noach Lichos. Yotza Schoro, the Schoro of a Noach Lirtzos is lost by the hefset of the Noach Lichos. Okay. Then you have Kosher Lichos, the Kosher Lirtzos. He is difficult to anger, and he's difficult to appease. So over there we say, Yotzo Hefsedo Bischoro. So the loss that he has from the Kosher Lirtzos is compensated by what? By the gain of the Kosher Lichos. So he's better off. Right, that's what he's saying. He's better off. That's what it means. He's better off, right, than the first one. If a person is in Noach Lichos, easily angers, and he's easily appeased, so then there's no gain. Because Yotza Scharo, the benefit is lost of the Noach Lichos by the hefset of the Noach Lichos. But if he's a Kosher Lichos, difficult anger, But he also has the bad trait of being a difficult to appease. So then the loss of the kosher lirtzos, difficulty in appeasement, is gone, is compensated for by the schar of the kosher lichos. So therefore, if a person has a choice, if he has to be noach in both cases or kosher in both cases, he should better choose which one. The kosher lichos and kosher lirtzos is better than the noach lichos and the noach lirtzos. Okay, why is that so? Doesn't mean they equal out. Because when you say yotza schoro befseido, it's not the same thing as saying yotza befseido beschor. Yotza schoro befseido means that the schar is lost because of the comes by the hefsid. But yotza befseido, the loss is gone because of the schar, means it implies that it's better. It's better. The loss is compensated for by the schar, by the reward. So it's better. If you lose the reward, so then there's nothing there. But if you get rid of the loss, so there's something there. Okay? So that's the question. Why should one be superior to the other? All right? But let's finish the mission. Next one is kosher lichos. He's difficult to anger, but he's a noach lirtzos. But he's very easily... he's difficult to anger, and he's very easily appeased. So, of course, that's a chassid. That's the highest level. And noach lichos and kosher lichos are Russian. All right? So you have four variations. So apparently the only benefit of the noach lichos and the noach lichos is that what? The only good about him is that he's not a noach lichos and a kosher lichos. That he's not a Russia. He's not a Russia. But good he's not. Okay? Good is only the kosher lichos, even if he's a kosher lichos. And the chosin and the best is what? Is kosher lichos and noach lirtzos. That's what we say, means a kosher bracha. Kosher lichos and noach lirtzos. Kilos lichos mosameis in Roshana. Okay, Peter. Right. So, okay. There's really a kasha on one of them. One of them is difficult. The chosin. Chosin is kosher lichos and noach lirtzos. Right? So it means he's difficult to anger. But apparently, if you try hard enough, you can get him angry. Kasha, I mean, why should it should be that he doesn't get angry at all? Never gets angry. All right, should be he never gets angry. If anger is bad, what? But the question is, like, the first, you see, these are six mishnayos, and as I explained to you. I explained to you that the six Mishnayos are broken up into two parts. There's the four ethical and the two intellectual. Because in Yadis, ethical and intellectual perfection go hand in hand. So that's why it combines both. But this is the second of the four ethical. Now, if we want to understand these Mishnayos, we have to understand every one of these things are chosen, not just accidentally. Kas isn't the only Midah in the world. There are other Midahs. So why did the Mishnah choose Kas? What does Kas represent? That's the first question. What is construct? And the first one we understand. Shali is the most universal. Shali. That means the person's selfishness. I mean, is how he relates to, is there an external reality or not? I mean, that's the most basic idea. So that shali is the most basic. But what is kas? Kas is second in line. Second barometer in line. What is kas? That's right. So kas is, anger is when reality does not conform to his wishes. Okay, that's what anger represents. That's the definition of anger. Why does a person get angry? Because reality is not conforming. What? So we say it like this, that noach lichos. So what does that imply, noach lichos? So noach lichos means that he can't accept reality. He doesn't accept reality. Because immediately, as soon as something's not in line with his wishes, he gets angry. Okay? That's Avodah Zarah. Also Avodah Zarah, yeah. But that's Noach Lichos. But the question is, but he also has a good Midah. What's the good Midah? The good Midah is he's Noach Lirtzos. He's easily appeased. He's easily appeased. So what does that imply? So what does appeasement mean? What does appeasement mean? What does it mean? What does appeasement mean? But it means, what does appeasement mean? Appeasement means when a person is appeased. So what does it mean? It means in reconsidering. He reconsiders. Let me think this over. Somebody did an injustice and they get very angry. He comes over to me and he pleads with me. He says, look, I didn't mean it, this. Can you forgive me? I can accept it. I can accept it. So it means that he can make an adjustment to, he can adjust himself to reality. That's appeasement. Appeasement is the ability to adjust to reality. Okay?
How come it doesn't affect you?
It means his personality is such that he can't accept a reality that goes against him. At first, in other words, in his present state, he can't. But he has the ability to make an adjustment once the reality is not in his favor. Okay? He can make an adjustment. He can't accept it before it occurs. Before it occurs, he can't. It's unacceptable. But after it occurs, he adjusts to it and even accepts it. Even accepts it. Okay? That's the first one. The second person is one that what? That can accept. He can accept reality in his state. He can accept a reality that's untoward. But those realities which he can't accept, those few realities that he can't accept, he can't even adjust to. He can't even adjust to. It's an interesting thing. But it seems that what? It seems that it's worse. Even though a person has the ability to adjust to reality, that is not as high a level as the person who can't adjust. He has a few areas in his mind that he can't accept. Most things he can accept, a few areas he can't. So if you did him wrong in general, he's nice. He's a nice guy. He doesn't get upset at you. But if you do him wrong in those areas that he can't, that are unacceptable to him, forget it. You can talk, he's a blue in the face, he'll never accept it. But you would think that's a worse person, because he doesn't accept anything. Right? Exactly. It's an interesting thing. So the first one is one that if you do anything that you do wrong to him, you do him any kind of wrong whatsoever, so what? He gets angry. But anything you do wrong to him, he gets angry at all. His radius, his sphere of operation, his sphere of anger is great. But he's also easily adjusted. But the second one is it can adjust easily. But certain things he can't forgive. People a lot of times say that. I can accept anything. Well, once you do this, that's it.
Everybody can accept what?
Everybody thinks he's what? Kashalachos. So except one or two others. But they'll agree that they're not a Noach Lertos. That they'll agree with. They're not a Noach Lertos. Okay. You do this, that's it. So what is the... It's true. Most people do think of themselves that way. That's true. So why is one superior to the other? It's an interesting thing. Because you have a choice here. A person, I would think just the opposite. That a person who is, like you said, that a person, like Levi said, the person who's a Noach Lirtzos is superior. Why? Because even though he's Noach Lichos, he gets angry at everything, but the fact is after you sit down and you talk to him, he accepts it. You say, look, I didn't mean it, this and that, but he can accept everything. Whereas the Kasha Lirtzos, just can't see reality when it comes to certain areas. So he's really worse. It would seem that way. It would seem you'd rather work with a person that's, even though he's a Noach Lichos, if he's a Noach Lirtzos. It's more difficult to work with a person if he's a Kasha Lichos. I mean, he's a Kasha Lichos, right? But he's a Kasha Lirtzos. Because you never know. You hit the wrong thing, that's it. It's all over. You never talk to him anymore. Most people would say that kind of an individual is worse. A kasha lichos and a kasha lichos is a worse kind of person, most people would think, than a no, yeah, he gets angry and he's easy, but then you talk to him, he's fine. So, oh, wonderful. That's a nice guy. But you see, Yad just takes the opposite stand, that he's worse. In other words, the person that people would rather work on a practical level, people would rather work with a noach lichos, noach litzos. No question about that. Because then you can always appease him. Oh, he gets angry, but a kosher lichos and kosher litzos is a difficult person. Because once you hit something that goes against his grain, he can't forget it. He can't talk to him anymore. All right? The people say, right? But the thing is like this, you see? In Yadus is looking for a different kind of barometer. In terms of human relations, it may be true that the Noach Lichos Noach Litzos is better. But Yadus is looking for a different barometer. What's the barometer of Yadus is looking for? The barometer Yadus is looking for is how much in line with reality is the person's emotional state? That's the question. So, since that's the question, it's a different framework. So a Noach Lichos shows you that in his normal state, he's not in line with reality, because he's a Noach Lichos. So that means most of his life, his essence, essentially, the way he's set up, the way his mental framework is set up, he's not in line with reality. So it's true that he's Noach Lichos, but that's not the state in which he always lives. That's a state that's after. That's another state. He's not, a person isn't in his life mostly in the state of Ritzoi. He's mostly in his normal state. So since in his normal state he's a Noach Lichos, so what does it show you? It shows you that he is in his, most of his existence, or the essence of his existence, is not in line with reality. So in terms of working with a person, it's true, you'd rather work with such a person. That's a social phenomenon. But now we're speaking about an ethical phenomenon, in terms of the person's perfection. So in terms of the person's perfection, the Noach Lichos is worse, because that means his basic state is not in line with reality. It's true that afterwards he adjusts, but his basic state is not in line with reality. Whereas a Kosher Lichos, his basic state is in line with reality. It means like this. It's similar to what the Rambam says. The Rambam. It's not the Rambam. I'm sorry. It's not the Rambam. It's not the Yesod HaTorah. The Rambam says no. The Rambam says V'lo Yeh Yitzrom Esgabalav V'dor Ba'olam. That there can't be any area where Yitzchak is Gabalov. But the Ram mentions in the Pirush Mishnayos, he mentions that the that's different. That means that in Yitzchak is Gabalov, that he can't, there can't be any overpowering of the Yitzchak in any area. But he can have certain imperfections, certain minor imperfections. Yeah. But over here it means like this. Kosher Lichos means that on the whole, he accepts reality. So therefore he is in a better state. That's why he's in a better state. Even though he's a more difficult person to work with socially, but that's why he's in a better state. Okay. Then you have in the next level. Yes, go say one thing. Kosher Lichos doesn't mean you know one or two areas. Kosher Lichos means that in general he doesn't get angry. In general. You don't know where. I mean, you don't have to know his personality. You don't know his personality. Okay. All right. Yeah. But you know what it means now. See, it's not a question. You're right. I mean, what Aaron's saying is right. It could be the one that's a kosher litzos is suffering from a greater ethical imperfection. Because it shows you that he has an area that he absolutely can't overcome. But nevertheless, most of his life is in reality. Most of his life is in reality. That's the barometer. It's not speaking about the imperfection. So you have to understand something. An ethical imperfection is only an imperfection insofar as it affects his sense of reality. So let's say, for instance, a person has an intolerable imperfection, but it never comes into existence. So what do we care? You see? What do we care? As long as his energies are in line with reality. That's the point. The point is not so much that the ethical, let's say a person would have a suit, you know what the Ram says? Ram says in the Morning Welcome that ethics is only necessary in a society, he says. Outside of society, ethics is not necessary. So that's why if a person were living on an island, he wouldn't need any ethical perfection. All right? What the Rambam means is that the only perfection, that if a person, let's say a person has an ethical imperfection, but if it could be avoided in his lifetime, and it doesn't interfere with his pursuit of reality, so that's it. He doesn't have to work on it. What's the purpose? I mean, it's a part of his emotional state that he loses when he dies, and that's it. It's only insofar as it interferes with reality that it's a problem. So that's why the kosher lichos is more in line with reality than the noach lichos and noach lichos. Because it means that most of his life he's living in reality. But a person that's noach lichos, he's never living in reality. He's always being upset. He's always bothering him. You see? Whereas the kosher lichos is most of his energies, and in reality, he lives a life in which he's directing his energies into the proper channels. Okay? That's what the Mishnah means. Then you have the, of course, you have noach lichos and kosher lichos. So that's a rasha. That's a rasha. Why is that a rasha? That means he can't even adjust to reality after the fact. He can never adjust to reality. There's no concept of reality in his mind. So of course that's a rasha. That's a rasha completely. That's completely removed from reality. Now let's just understand the last one. The chassid. What's the chassid? What's the question? The person has a mishigas, but the mishigas will never be realized. It's realized once, I don't know. Wait, whenever, once in the idea. So what do I care? So what do I care if he has that mishigas? It's not, we're not trying to eradicate quirks from people. Everybody's entitled to the mishigas. The only thing is that if it, insofar as it interferes with reality, with a sense of reality, that's when it's bad. So emotions, no one expects a person to have perfect emotions. You can't. It's impossible. But the value of the emotions has to be measured against how much it interferes with his sense of reality. That's why, even though he may have a mishigas that's intolerable, and you can't get him out of it, but if it's something which doesn't come up often, it's a rare thing. So most of his life can be, most of his energies can be, he could use in pursuit of reality, in pursuit of fun. Whereas the person, the other one, he always has to be adjusted. So it's constant need of adjustments. So therefore, he's not really living in reality. Okay? He's constantly switching. All right. That's what I think. That's why I think it's better. Rabbeinu Yonah thought differently. Because Rabbeinu Yonah says like this. Rabbeinu Yonah says, he also brought the same kasha. He says, he's like this. He says, it's true that he's in the Noach Lertzos, but the moment he's angry, he can do all kinds of crazy things. I think it'll kind of boil down the same thing. So he says, and therefore, even though later you can appease him, but boy, how can you take away what he did the time when he's angry? So it means most of the time, it'll kind of boil down to the same thing. It means most of the time, since he's in Noach Lichos, he's going to be involved in crazy performances. And performances that are out of reality. And you can't do anything about that. So therefore it's worse. Okay. Let's take the chassid. What is the chassid? The chassid is kosher lichos and noach lertzos. But the question we raised is, he should really be never kolos, like the Rambam says in the in Hilchos Deos, right? So he answered it. Rabbeinu Yonah answered like this. He says, Vein sorach shelo yichos klal. You can't say he should never get angry. Why? Ki lefamim sorach adam lichos, lekinas Hashem, kefinchos, lechein omar kosher lichos, shal kol ponim yeshlo lichos, ach bekushe hapomim she'ein lo reshus lios below kas, v'azeh mechach le musa, al tiyah maso penyev leucha. Don't be sweet lest you be swallowed up. V'gam kein tova dovelis ratos miyad af bo'ud kaiso olav, v'lo acha she'yosur kaiso me'olav, v'lo b'shasa kas mamish, v'noach lirtos, ki zui mimidas achasidus v'tov levav. It's an interesting thing. What did he say, Rabbeinu? Rabbeinu is an interesting thing. He says that when does the chassid get angry? He gets angry like Pinchas. He's koes for Hashem. So I would say that's not kas. I mean, if I didn't see the main answer, what is he talking about? That's not kas. That's a different thing altogether. That's a phenomena where a person can't tolerate the fact that the world is not in line with the reality of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's the exact opposite of kas. Kas is where you're angry because reality is not in line with you. And over here, the kas of Pinchas is the exact opposite. What's the kas of Pinchas? Kas of Pinchas has nothing to do personal. What does he care? What does he care about Zimri ben Solo? But what's the answer? What does he care? He cares because he can't tolerate the fact that what? That things are going against the reality as portrayed by a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's what disturbs him. So that's a different kind of concept altogether. It has nothing to do with this. What is he mixing this in here for? Okay? That's kenos. That's kenos. That has nothing to do with this. Exact opposite. It seems like this.
Exactly.
Yeah. It seems that what Bena Yonah is saying is, Bena Yonah, psychologist, he's saying like this. He's saying that it's impossible to have kas about the fact that things aren't in line with God's reality without there being the personal, without it being an extension of the personal. Without it being an extension of the personal. It's an impossibility. It's an interesting thing. He holds it's an impossible. Otherwise, he couldn't have kas. Things aren't in line with the reality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It might be disturbing. It's a distortion. But to have kas about it, the kas has to be stem from the self. It's a remnant, it's a vestige of the same kas that a person has when things are not in line with his reality, but since he's a higher person, he has attached it to God's reality. He's made it bridge. But the source of energy is the same exact source. That's Rabbeinu Yonah. It's an amazing Rabbeinu Yonah. Well, Rabbeinu Yonah was a psychologist. Rabbeinu Yonah maintained that it's impossible for there to be an anger which is purely of a philosophical nature. The real philosopher never gets angry. But you see that halacha demands that you can't be a real philosopher all the time. Halacha demands that emotion of kas, and that's in line with the philosophy of Yadis, that the Yadis does not extirpate, doesn't uproot the emotion. But what the Yadis does is it keeps the emotions and uses them under control. They must be under control and utilized for the proper purpose. So a person's kas, the anger that a person has when that stems from childhood, basically, when things aren't in line with his reality, has to be eventually directed towards the reality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When things aren't in line with that reality, he has to feel a sense of anger. But the anger, the source of the anger is from the self. The source of the anger is from the self. That's why he says, you can't say never. He's never kohes. He could say kosher lechos. He's very hard, difficult to hit, to get him angry. But the anger is still there. And the anger is expressed in kanos. It's expressed in kanos. It's an interesting expression in kanos, but he says, even then he's a noach litzos. Even then he's noach litzos, it means that even at that time, at the time of his anger even, he's easily appeased, and he can remove the emotion. It's an interesting thing. But what does he mean noach litzos? Noach litzos means that he employs the anger, but even in the process of employing the anger, he's not lost. That's what it means. When Pinchas is involved in the anger at Zimri, but if you could show him that there's something wrong here, just a minute, you could appease him. It means that the anger is in motion, but it's never not subject to appeasement, because then it means he's not subject to reality anymore. He's overcome by it. He's not overcome by the anger. That's what it means. Rambam's only talking about personal anger. The Rambam's not talking about kanos. The Rambam might hold that's philosophical anger. The Rambam might hold such thing as philosophical anger. That's a qualitatively differentiated experience. Could be the Rambam. There's only one. It means like this. When we say kosher lichos v'noach lirtzos with regard to God, it means like this. What do we mean? What do we mean now by a kosher lichos? A kosher lichos, we mean a person whose anger is reserved only when reality is in danger. That's what it means. Like Pinchas. What does it mean he's a kanoa? It means that his anger is reserved for the time when reality is in danger. Nothing else. Nothing. He's not moved emotionally. It's true that he may do things against him, but that doesn't bother him. But if it would be like a good parent's anger. The child can do things that are not respectful or that annoy him or whatever, but he won't react unless he sees there's something serious. Now he has to react because the child's in danger. It's irrational. The only time the anger is aroused is when it's supported completely by rationality. That's what it means. That's kosher lichos, because that's what it means. That's Pinchas. Pinchas wouldn't get angry, but now he sees everything's in danger. That's when he gets angry. So that's the metaphor for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it doesn't bother him if we do things that are disrespectful, if we do things that are connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we do chote, whatever. But he only gets angry when it's for our benefit, when we do something that destroys, that endangers our very existence, that's when he gets angry. And even then, Noach alerts us, which means since his objective is for our benefit, so the moment the person does tshuva, he's immediately accepted. In Yosheva, that's what it says. In Yoshev, the Yad Tekablo. It means it's immediate. It means it's a metaphor that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anger, which is a metaphor, is nothing more than an expression of his of the onish is only when he realizes that we're in danger of our very existence. And even then, it's immediately accepts the tshuva of the Rasha. That's what the metaphor is. Okay, stop it. Well, that's an important point to mention. Steve Fazansky asked me a question. The question is whether the idea of the Kosha Lichos and Noach Lirtzos versus the Noach Lichos and Noach Lirtzos it's not a quantitative concept. It's a qualitative idea. It means that it's like he mentioned the Rabbeinu Yonah says he's a sovereign. The sovereign. It means it's not a quantitative idea. It means that is he's in line. It's a certain nature. His nature. Personality type. Okay.